This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Training camps have been standing us a little bit more frequently. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the program this week. Ben joins us on what is a day off today, correct?
On my couch rather than being at Sweaty Ashburn.
Well, it's a pretty good day to be on your couch because it's getting back up into the 90s. So real quickly, before we get to the last couple of days, they signed Byron Pringle, re-signed Brian Pringle. Did they do that for kickoff returns?
I mean, he has experience like signing, you know, Brian Mitchell or like some returner, at least he wasn't here last year, but could be. I mean, they are looking for, you know, they're trying to solidify that as well as, you know, that receiver room, which, you know, depending on how many, if they keep, you know, six, give or take, you know, there's probably what might be open. So maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't love what they have enough, or they just want to get another, you know, get another player in. I mean, he is a guy who's been around the league, was here. Obviously, it's not completely irrelevant anymore since it's a different stat. But, you know, this is what teams do sometimes. The receiver is, it does feel a bit unsettled once you get past, you know, some of the obvious names.
I mean, he was pretty decent on returns when he was here. I always thought that Pringle was an Eric Bieniemy, you know, guy, that he, that this was somebody Eric wanted because he knew what Eric wanted to do.
For sure. I mean, that made sense. Yeah, I mean, he, you know, seems like, you know, like sort of the, well, I'll say this. On the surface, maybe he feels like the same tier as like Demary or Bird, if I'm saying that first name right, who they brought in
right
earlier, yeah, this offseason, who can't say has, I've seen a ton from him so far, which, you know, it's hard to see everything, but I haven't, he has not stood out in any way. So there's that aspect, but yeah, I do remember for the Athletic when we hit free agency last year, Randy Mueller, former two-time GM in the league, handled the free agency lists for us. And I remember you and I talking about it at the time. It was notable he didn't have like Cam Curl in his top one. I think it was top 100 or something like that, top 150. He did have Byron Pringle in there, which seemed curious, but he just thought that Byron Pringle was a pretty, you know, had been a pretty good player, got some explosiveness, you know, can play whatever. So you know, he has got some fans out there. So yeah, we'll see. I you know, again, they get past Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Luke McCaffrey, probably Zacchaeus, I would say, and then, you know, we'll see.
All right. What happened yesterday at camp? It certainly seemed like the reaction to Jaden Daniels and his excited and really, really lavishing with praise and compliments from receivers. Just kind of describe the practice yesterday, because it seemed to be the outlier so far for the.
Yeah, right. And I think, yeah, the outlier part. So yeah, the first 5 days, you know, it's been pretty uneventful from a. You know, the highlights typically finding receivers deep downfield and receivers making a play, because so much of the rest of it is like, you know, there's line play, but there's no tackling. And the receiver, the QB receiver connections are always the most exciting part. And we just really hadn't had a lot more of that. And Daniels was at the center of it. He started practice off with a deep shot to Zacchaeus. He later hit Terry McLaurin for roughly a 40-yard catch down the left sideline. Jahan Dotson, the Commander's Twitter feed, now they posted a video. It's not like the most epic video, but you can see Daniels throwing it to Dotson. He does like a toe tap on the sideline to get it in. It was also a touchdown pass to Zach Ertz. Brayson Tremaine had some catches. So Daniels, it was easily the day that he, you know, he'd already had some pretty high moments, but that this was, you know, not like it was, you know, the splashiest day in that regard. The accuracy just really stands out on his throws. I mean, even the ones typically that are incomplete, the ball is often right there, and, you know, the defender made a play or somebody dropped it or what have you. So today was the day it felt like he, you know, put it most together. I mean, as yesterday, Benjamin St. Juice did not participate in team drills, so that's arguably their top corner and so on. But yes, Daniels had a pretty good day in the passing game, had been the previous few days.
How about some of the quotes from Jahan Dotson afterwards?
Yeah, Jahan was very much in a hyperbolic mood. He was everybody's best go route runner in league history, so that's kind of where he's at. But in terms of Daniels, he just said, you know, he was asked about the ball placement, and he's like, "Hey, with him, anything is possible." Meaning, yeah, you do what you need to do as the receiver, and you can expect the ball to be a lot of hyperbole. In training camp, that's what happens. But I think it's accurate in the sense that Jaden Daniels, when he's showing, you know, the best of him, dynamic passer. I mean, I'm not even mentioning the run aspect, because, you know, that's just not a huge part of
right. These
training camps. But you see it, he's taken off a few times. So you add those two kind of, that's really exciting, which, again, this is what we've been anticipating from the, you know, way before they even drafted him. There's a lot of respect for him, both as like a locker room guy and a leader, but, you know, we're hearing more what he can do on the field. And yeah, sure, Jahan was, I think I'll just say this. I think for Jahan, he's had kind of a rough camp, I would say. And yesterday was his best day as well. So maybe about himself, and that's why everything was great. But he had a lot of praise for his quarterback.
Well, didn't he have a lot of praise for Emmanuel Forbes as well?
For Forbes, for Tariq Castro Fields, who was his teammate at Penn State. Everybody was, you know, I'm somewhat being jokey here, but if you listen to Jahan, I would say, you know, you can start looking for Super Bowl tickets. But they're all kind of, especially all the young guys, you know, they're all kind of going through this together, right? I mean, Jahan's coming off a disappointing year. We know Forbes had a tough rookie season. I'm sure there's got to be some level of, I don't know, bonding is the right word, but all these guys I think they're all competitors. They all understand last year wasn't great. They got to get better. It's a new staff. I think people are invigorated by the vibe that's going on there right now. And, you know, like I said, I don't think Jahan had particularly the passing game as a whole. Like I said, none of the receivers are really standing out in any notable way. I think Jahan had some of the tougher struggles, some drops, just seemed a little bit off with his route running. Yesterday, it felt like it was much more together. So, yeah, like I said, I just think that he's probably feeling better about himself, and, you know, he's going up against Forbes and so on in practice. And, you know, if he's going to be improving, you've got to hope that the guy across from him, are probably doing the same.
We're talking, of course, to Ben Standig at Ben Standig on Twitter, on X. Subscribe to The Athletic to read him. He's writing every single day on what he's seeing at camp. And listen to his podcast, Standig Room Only. You've mentioned a couple of times in tweets and even in your stories the name of a receiver that I'm guessing a lot of our fans are not super familiar with, and that is Bryson Tremaine. You've mentioned him a couple of times. Undrafted free agent, Stanford. What do you like about him? Or what's, you know, stood out about him?
Yeah, well, you know how it is. Like, every summer there's always
sure
a couple guys in camp that kind of, ooh, what's going on here? And it tends to be a lot of receivers. There's just so much receiver talent that comes in the league these days. So he's been my guy. I really liked him even last year. He came on board, you know, undrafted out of Stanford. He's 6'4", which is, you know, for this team, that would be a tremendous asset because they really
Marco
don't have
Mitchell
much
like.
Something like that. But, you know, he's got really good hands. He had a nice diving catch on a deep pass from Mariota yesterday. He's also a help on special teams. You know, again, I just think that I sort of want to say De'Ami Brown is going to, you know, I would probably put him in on the good side right now of the roster. But that sixth spot is open depending on what they choose to do with, you know, Jamison Crowder, who's had a good camp as a receiver, but, you know, Jamison Crowder at this point in his career, do you want to keep him as the returner, go with a younger guy? I think if they do and they want some size, I think Tremaine has looked pretty good. Again, receivers are always always probably look a little bit better in camp because, you know, the receivers have advantages over the defensive players, et cetera. So factor that in. But I really do like him. And actually, I was getting into an argument with our guy Logan Paulson on the sideline yesterday about who's claiming him as their guy, because we were both saying that you know, we were the one that discovered Tremaine. And I was like, no, I go back to last year. He's like, so do I. And anyway, my point is to say that he's looked pretty good. He's been a fun watch. And he, you know, he really does fit with what they need. It's not just he's making plays, but they need size at that receiver spot. McCaffrey is the tallest, and he's under 6'2". So, no, that would be interesting. Again, not saying a lock or anything along those lines, but, you know, or even that he's going to make the team. But he's definitely, for me, has stood out. And, you know, I thought so last year as well.
You know, I had Luke McCaffrey on the show last week, and I am curious as to whether or not he's having a good camp, because you've mentioned, you know, Terry and Jahan having a better day yesterday, and this guy, you know, Tremaine, and, you know, Deami Brown has had a decent camp. Where is McCaffrey fitting in all of this?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's having a poor camp. You know, most of the, as I said, really none of the receivers were getting to stand out, whether it's because of the quarterbacks or the defense prior to yesterday. And he wasn't really that involved in some of the bigger plays that I'm talking about. Neither was Deami, for that matter. But one interesting thing that happened yesterday with Dan Quinn was that, you know, he's been pretty light on specifics for individual players so far in camp, but before practice started, he gave us a little review of what he saw from the first day of pads, and he later mentioned in the press conference that Deami really stood out to him because it was his single play. He really, you know, ran his route, stole it, ran hard, even when he, you know, kind of knew the ball wasn't going to come to him. So that's where I'm saying, I think for Deami, maybe it feels like he's trending in the right direction. McCaffrey seems fine. You know, they're using him at, you know, some outside, a little bit inside. But, yeah, just hasn't found him yet in ways it did with the other guys yesterday.
All right. You've talked about this every single time you've been on O-line mixing and matching. And you wrote that that's continued. I mean, what to learn from, you know, one day Brandon Coleman's in, you know, as the with the ones at left tackle, one day it's Lucas. Any reason for any major takeaways a week into camp as it relates to the offensive line?
I think that, you know, Tyler Biadasz and Sam Cosmi are, you know, pretty much the two there with the first, you know, the first team, first reps every practice. So they're good. Allegretti in there as well. But that left open, that the tackles are open. And I think, you know, we've talked so much about the left tackle situation, right? But we have not as much about the right tackle with Andrew Wiley. And I think for me, part of it is, one, he started, you know, all last season. And we can, I know not everybody was a big fan, but so much was going wrong with the offensive line last year and with Sam Howell holding onto the ball, things like that. But they have been, you know, basically between Wiley, Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman, they've been rotating them in and out. Coleman and Lucas have played on both sides. Wiley has strictly been at the right tackle spot. But, you know, again, there's no – if I say first or second team, it's not like the starters because they're changing things around everywhere. But, yeah, Coleman has played a decent amount with the ones. Wiley missed parts of a couple of practices just a few days ago, and that put Coleman – that gave Coleman more reps, and they've kept that up. Look, I think we've talked about this from the start. Lucas and Wiley are, you know, reasonable stop gaps, you know, maybe starters if you're really in a pinch, but like not guys you would typically say, hey, those are your guys. And they drafted Coleman in the third round. There's obviously got to be some expectations that he would eventually take over one of those jobs. The question is just, you know, how quickly could it happen? So, you know, they've only had pads on for a brief time in camp, and we'll have to see a lot more, but yeah, I mean, if they're starting to get a little bit more comfortable with him possibly being out there, then maybe he does get pushed up quicker. And then it's a question of, you know, is Lucas or Wiley on the right side. But again, the fun will continue on that front. The evaluation process, we'll probably start to get a better feel, you know, next week when they're at that joint practice with the Jets and then the preseason games as well. But yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing to note. Is that, you know, the tackle situations on both tackles, it looks like, and Coleman may be more involved than, you know, you could have assumed just because he was drafted as in the third round.
Yeah, I mean, I think other than Daniels and Sanra still, the biggest reveal through 1 week of training camp is that Brandon Coleman has a legitimate chance to start as a rookie at left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, look, we it's no secret, right, that we've all been a little bit concerned, some very concerned with the tackle situation, and that, you know, look, Luke and more of the other pass rushers can find, find different moves to beat him. And Wiley, you know, look, he played on, you know, Super Bowl team with the Chiefs. He was also viewed as probably, there's no real upside there. The rookie, that's where the upside is. So, you know, I think they're trying to give him the opportunity to see what he can do. And you know, again, they're, you know, Jordan McGee, the linebacker, has playing this. It is a bit of a mystery right now.
I said yesterday on the show that I think Zach Ertz is going to be a major contributor this year. He knows Kingsbury's off. You look for, in terms of a young quarterback, that outlet, that tight end tends to be that guy if he's big, with big hands and a big catch radius. Do you agree with that? I think people weren't sure about what Zach Ertz was being brought in to do other than be a leader in kind of the same way that maybe Bobby Wagner was on defense, but Wagner had a great year last year. But what is your guess right now on Zach Ertz's on-field role in 24?
I think it's pretty clear he's the starter. I mentioned earlier that the receiver room, you know, however talented the players are, there's not a ton of size there. Well, Ertz gives you that. I mentioned Daniels threw a short touchdown pass to him yesterday. He's obviously going to be a red zone help. And as you said, you know, quarterbacks, probably especially young ones, like that safety valve that a tight end can provide. So, you know, like with Wagner and Eckler, he was brought in to help with the, you know, mentoring, establishing a culture, all that good stuff. But in terms of the play, you know, I think the question was, you know, how healthy is he? So far, he's looked pretty healthy and I would say pretty spry out there. So, I think so far, so good. I think with him, health is probably going to be the biggest thing. I think John Bates, who was another player that Dan Quinn singled out yesterday for his blocking, you know, as we see the last few years, he'll be there and, you know, two tight end sets. And, you know, they're still working in Ben Sinnott. He's had, there's a few times where you can see, you know, why a team might want him in the second round. He's also had a couple of drops, and some of what he can do in terms of like being like a fullback doesn't translate really into camp. So, you know, it looks interesting, but maybe it's not all going to come together right away. And the other tight ends, the Cole Turners, Armani Rogers, you know, it haven't been a ton out of them. So yeah, I mean, Ertz is pretty clear to be the starter. And as long as he can stay healthy, he's going to give Jaden Daniels, a big target and in the middle of the field, which is definitely helpful. And, he seems pretty confident out there about Ertz.
I thought it was interesting, and you tweeted this out, that because I've mentioned this name before going back to last year, but he singled out Kaz Allen in the return game. This guy was singled out multiple times this time last summer by the previous regime. Is he was a prolific returner, you know, in college. Is this a legit possibility for the return game, whether it's punt or kickoff?
Well, you know, it's interesting, right? So the kickoff, he does not, you know, he's the classic water bug type receiver,
yeah.
You know, short, quick, fast. That does not seem to be where the league is now with the new rule changes. That's going to create a lot more congestion when the returner starts moving up the field because of the new rules. The kicking team players, besides the kicker, are going to start with their foot on the receiving team's 40-yard line. So it's viewed sort of more of like you want that sort of running back type. That said, the punt return game could be open. He just wasn't a punt returner really at college. And
he
struggled there last year. Yeah, so if he's, just watching it out there again, it's basically they catch the ball, field the catch cleanly, hopefully, and then start running forward. But it's not, today's a different day in practice, and I guess he saw that in Allen, which is notable for a guy who is not the biggest athlete receiver at this stage. So that's where, he's one of those potentially upside guys where a Crowder is. Mike Sanders still, who also was cited by Quinn as a standing out with the kickoff. He's just been kind of a, if I say electric, I don't want to go over the top, but when he gets the ball in his hands, you can really see the playmaker. And, I don't know how much they want to put on a rookie's plate. It looks like he's going to be the slot corner as we expected. So, do you want to have him do that and returns? I don't know, but he may very well be in the mix for one of those spots.
How's the kicker done?
He won't be the week one kicker, I would say.
Okay, that's
he's made some kicks. He's been okay, but I think they're just kind of stuck for now, in the sense that they're waiting for the kickers around the league. Teams will have multiple kickers in camp to cut someone to make their choices, just the way like Washington did a year ago, right? When they had the Michael Badgley in with Kelly Fly, and then they cut the cord there about a week or so in. Who knows how long some of these other teams will make some moves, but I would imagine at some point here, Washington is going to bring in either competition or somebody new. The fact that the preseason game is the first one's next week, that's possibly a mile marker for this situation, because you want to practice not only the field goals, but you want to practice the new kickoff rules. So,
right.
I don't know, obviously I think that you want to get that guy in to feel comfortable about that aspect as soon as possible. So if they pick somebody up in the next, few days, that won't stun me. But, all things being considered, Ahmed is doing okay. But, I just don't see that he's probably the likely long-term answer.
Our coverage of Commanders training camp here on the Team 980 is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to a T-Mobile program and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out at tmobile.com/switch. One last one, because you mentioned him at the very beginning, Benjamin St. Juice and him not participating yesterday. They've got the day off today. Is there any concern over his health?
I don't know. Dan Quinn speaks before practices, so we didn't have the opportunity to circle back as to what's going on there. And, teams don't have to put out an injury report, obviously, at this time of year. So no update there yet. He was working. He did individual work, but before going back inside. So going into the building. So, it doesn't seem like it's something that's too crazy, but obviously something to keep an eye on. Wiley was out a couple days the other day, as I said, and then he came back. So hopefully it's something along those lines and the day off helps. He's been a really interesting player this camp in that, it's been unbelievably quiet. He just has not come up a lot in discussion, conversation. We haven't had him in the media tent, I don't think, even back in the mini camp part. So we really haven't talked to him a ton, and, I think there's a chance for him to have something of a breakout year based on what we've seen this coaching staff do back in Dallas. And it's not like St. Juice doesn't have the tools. He's got great size. He's been good at anticipating passes. He just struggles typically catching possible interceptions. The penalties have been high. And last year, he gave up the second most yards of any corner in the league. I give everybody a little bit of a pass for last year, but so I think he's got a chance to have a good year, but hopefully this injury is not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I think he's an interesting watch here as we approach the end of camp. And look, I think with Joe Witt Jr., these corners are going to have to tackle. You know, Emmanuel Forbes is going to have to really show improvement as a hitter and a tackler, and St. Juice is going to have to be a tackler as well, and I think they know they have one in Davis. Thanks. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you the end of the week.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Kevin. See you.
All right, Ben Standing, everybody. When we come back, Denton's News, Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got today?
All right, we got some Olympic action. We got the Team USA men's basketball in action against South Sudan. They played in a friendly before the Olympics to get ready for it, and it was one of the scariest games that Team USA has played in a while, nearly losing to South Sudan. So we get the rematch at 3 p.m. Also, we'll see if Jason Tatum plays in this matchup. He didn't play.
I will bet any amount of money that Jason Tatum plays today.
I would at least a minute. Yeah, I would say he's going to play a little bit too.
What time does the game start, and which of the 15 NBC outlets will it be on?
Team USA, I believe, is reserved for the big outlets, so I think it'll be on NBC. I'm looking to confirm that as we speak, just because sometimes you never know with these idiots. But I believe they reserve Team USA basketball for big NBC.
They're 31-point favorites. They were 43.5-point favorites a couple of weeks ago when they won by a point.
that is an they insane should win. Spread.
I would imagine they've got a chance to cover today because they'll take it seriously.
So I was wrong. They're going to be on USA Network, not NBC.
Yeah, I think USA's had a lot of the basketball.
Yeah, so they'll be on USA Network. Let me see what the spread is. For this one today, probably not.
I just told you what it was.
Oh, did you? Sorry, I was.
They're 31-point favorites.
God, that's still a massive number.
It's a massive number after they won by a point.
Yeah, after they won.
Yeah, I like the U.S. laying the 31 today. Today feels like a 112 to 64 final, something like that.
How much do you bet on the Olympics?
Zero. Like, I've not made even one wager on the Olympics.
But even in years past, because like the Olympics
now, not much.
This is the first real go round where betting is legal for not everybody, but most people in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very new. I'm very curious as to how sharp the lines actually are in this, because it's not like you can base a lot of it off the analytics. Like, I could bet right now on men's Olympic badminton.
Yeah, I can't help you other than to say my experience with this is when you get into some of these obscure sports, for the odds makers, they have less information. And if they've got less information, then, theoretically, the lines won't be as sharp. And so if there's somebody out there that really understands these obscure sports and the matchups, maybe there's more of an advantage betting on, women's shot put than there is on an NFL preseason game.
I have bet on badminton before, by the way.
That's your problem.
I lost. I took a 2-week break. I was like, what am I doing?
You should have taken a permanent break.
Like, why did I bet on badminton? It wasn't even during the Olympics either. It was just on the app. And I was like, this feels like a win. I was on a losing streak. The streak continued. All right, NFL stuff. DJ Moore, 4 years, $110 million. I find this intriguing because we've had so much conversation here about the Brandon Ayuk contract, and I would say that Brandon Ayuk better than DJ Moore, but I really like DJ Moore, and he did not take anywhere near the amount of money that Brandon Ayuk is asking for. I believe this, just quick math, is about $27 million per year, where Brandon Ayuk is asking for 29 or 30.
Yeah, it still puts him in. Look, I actually think Ayuk might be a cut above DJ Moore, but I think DJ Moore is really good. And man, the DJ Moore, Adunze, and Keenan Allen lineup in Chicago. I mean, you talk about really having a supporting cast in place for a rookie quarterback. They have it, not to mention the Notre Dame tight end, Cole Kmet, and the back they added. They added Swift, right? DeAndre Swift? I'm pretty sure they did.
Yes, they did.
I think that's probably where it should be. I think Ayuk's higher, though. I do. I think CeeDee Lamb clearly is higher. I mean, the perception of CeeDee Lamb would be higher. But good for DJ Moore. I mean, DJ Moore was, you know, coming out of Maryland, you saw it when he was in College Park, you saw NFL capability. And then, of course, you know, he ends up spending his first few years in, you know, Carolina, which was not the best of situations. It's amazing that he was included in that trade, but Chicago demanded it. And that made the trade a little bit, you know, ultimately one-sided, and Chicago benefited from, you know, getting Carolina's pick this year anyway and getting the shot at Caleb Williams versus Bryce Young. I think they'll end up being better off with Caleb Williams than Bryce Young. Although I'm not off of Bryce Young. I think a lot of people are. I'm not off of him quite yet. But I'm a fan of DJ Moore. I've always thought that DJ Moore and Terry are kind of in that same group together. You know, they're not the elite category. They're not that second category. But they're somewhere, you know, if you put three guys, Chase, Jefferson, Tariq Hill in Category 1, and then let's just say there are four or five, you know, maybe six guys in Category 2, which I guess might include Lamb, would definitely include probably A.J. Brown. I think Brandon Ayuk, a few others, maybe Diggs. I think that next group is where DJ Moore resides, which puts them in that, you know, 11 to 16, 17 range, depending on how many guys are in that one. I like DJ Moore, though.
It would be nice if Terry...
He tore Washington up in that Thursday night game.
I was going to say, it'd be nice if Terry could give us one of those games, you know, 230 yards and three tutties in prime time. I was literally nearly half of the guy's touchdowns last year. He had eight total, but three of them came in that game.
Really? He had eight total? Yeah, it was an up-and-down year for Chicago's offense, that's for sure. Eight catches, 230 yards, three touchdowns in that game on Thursday Night Football. What was the score? 24-0? 31-0? Whatever
it was.
It was ugly.
It was ugly. That was the game that Sam Howe was dropped back like 60 times in a row.
Yeah, but they also had a chance, remember, and Joey Sly missed a field goal. They had a chance to cut it to 7 with still plenty of time left in the game, and Joey Sly missed, you know, a reasonable length field goal. I forget what it was, but that would have made it, I think, an 8-point lead or a 7-point lead with still time left in the game. All right, what else?
So we talked a little bit of Olympic stuff. Have you been paying attention to kind of the celebrities that are around the Olympics?
Well, the gymnastics, I mean, Nicole Kidman, Tom Cruise, you know, all the regulars that show up at Wimbledon and at, you know, U.S. Open finals for tennis, they were all there. Who else?
Snoop Dogg. He's been literally
everywhere. He's been there the entire time, right? Isn't he part of the NBC promotional thing or not?
He is. And it was, I mean, NBC's made a lot of good decisions. Having Snoop Dogg be a part of the Olympics has been one of the best decisions they've made in recent years. He is hilarious.
He's just... I mean, the only way to kind of describe him for everybody that, and I'm talking about everybody because most people probably aren't familiar with the Snoop Dogg catalog, is that he's just an incredibly likable, you know, personality.
He did a bit with Michael Phelps where Phelps was teaching him how to swim. It's only like 2 minutes.
He doesn't know how to swim?
Well, he knows how to swim, but they were like teaching him how to swim like an Olympian.
Uh-huh.
And watching Snoop Dogg swim, he like starts on the left side of the pool and he's swimming and ends up all the way on the right side of the pool against the wall. Like just no concept of straight, veering the entire way. It was hilarious. No goggles, no nothing. Phelps like, you need goggles? He's like, I can see better without them.
I'm not going to look this up, but I want you to look it up. I want to guess how old Snoop Dogg is. Do you know how old he is?
Off the top of my head, I do not. He is, I would imagine he's younger than you think. Because he looks older than
Younger than I think. Because I was going to say he is now in his mid-50s.
So slightly younger than you would think. It depends what you consider mid-50s to be. Where's the
55.
Cutoff?
55.
All right, then he's younger than that, yeah.
How much younger than that?
He will turn 53 in October.
Okay. I was close.
Yeah, you were close. You were closer than I thought because he looks a little bit older because he has a lot of gray.
He's got a lot of miles on him.
Yeah, he does have a little bit of miles on him.
All right, what else?
Have you seen or do you have any interest in seeing Deadpool and Wolverine?
I've heard about it, but I have not seen it, and I don't know much about it. I do know that Ryan Reynolds, you know, has struck gold once again, right? I mean,
yeah.
Everything this guy touches, it's like a home run.
Except
so
for
tell
Green
me about
Lantern.
The movie. Have you seen it?
It was great. Yeah, I saw it on opening day. My fiance and I went. You know, we just got off the cruise. I was like, I'm taking Friday off, too. I'm not coming back to work just for one day a week. And then we went and saw it in the morning. It's grossed over $500 million in the first week, which is a record for a rated R film. And it will likely by this time next week be over $1 billion.
What is the number one R-rated film of all time?
That's a really good question.
Because that seems to me like that's record-breaking territory.
Oh, that is definitely record-breaking territory. I don't know if an R-rated film has grossed over $1 billion, and if it has, it didn't do in the first 2 weeks.
Wow. You know, here, I just pulled it up. Oppenheimer did nearly $1 billion a year ago.
Joker did $1 billion in 2019.
Do we get the new Joker that this coming fall?
Yes, it's in October. Yeah, with Harley Quinn in it, Lady Gaga.
I think that is an underrated first film, and I say underrated. I think most people that saw it thought it was great, and Joaquin Phoenix was phenomenal. But I loved that movie. Loved it. I thought it was one of the best acting jobs of all time.
Which is fascinating because you're not a comic book guy at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But I don't think you needed to be a comic book guy to appreciate the acting job of Joaquin Phoenix in that movie.
Definitely
and
not.
And enjoy that movie.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
And then we get Katie Ledecky. Final thing for we get Katie Ledecky at 3:04 for the 1500-meter final. I told you she won her semis by nearly 20 seconds. And if you combine all of the heats, she beat second place by nearly 6 seconds.
And that will be on NBC, I would assume.
Yeah, I believe that that's going to be on NBC. It's scheduled for 3:04 p.m., which I think is like 8 in France. I don't know how far Paris is ahead of us.
She'll win, right? She's a massive favorite to win that.
Yeah, she should win.
Okay,
yeah.
And that'll be her first gold?
This year, yes, it will.
And how many potential golds for her? I know she bronzed in her first event.
Yeah, she did bronze in her first event. She is, by the way, do you want to guess how big of a favorite she is? Somehow there's two swimmers that are minus money, which is baffling because Katie Ledecky is very minus money.
I don't know, minus 6,000?
Minus 9,000.
Uh-huh.
And the second place is minus 430. Oh, that's to win a medal, period. Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, I was going to say, you can't have somebody minus 6,000.
Yeah, I was like, that didn't make any
somebody
sense.
Somebody else at minus money.
But she's minus 6,000 to win gold, so you're correct.
Okay. Oh, really? So I got the gold, and it's minus 9,000 to just medal.
To just medal, yeah.
Right.
And certain books are giving away winner without Katie Ledecky, which is very similar to what Scottie Scheffler got in golf earlier this year.
Right. I do like the U.S. men's basketball team to cover the 31 today. I think that's what would have convinced me more is if the line was 43.5 again. Then I would have been all in. But it's still 31, and the game was played a week and a half ago, and they won by a point. They're going to crush South Sudan today. The NFL is going to test Hawkeye for first down lines to gain. We've got more detail on that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app. So the big orange, you know, first down markers with the big chain in between and the chain gang working first downs, we know that they've been working on eventually replacing that with technology. Well, they are going to test Sony's Hawkeye technology during some of the preseason games, which start tomorrow night with the Hall of Fame game, Chicago and Houston in that game. The system most likely won't be ready for full implementation until next regular season, although they say it could happen. This from Gary Brantley, who is the NFL's senior vice president and chief information officer. We're in the installation phase for all of our stadiums, really getting them calibrated and up to date. We're just really getting to a place where this system is as accurate as possible and really calibrating across our multiple stadiums. We have multiple stadiums with multiple dimensions inside of those stadiums with different age, which I'm sure he's referring to sort of technological ability. So we're really just going through the installation of putting in the infrastructure and making sure these cameras are installed. Now, Hawkeye Tracking Services for Line to Gain adds cameras to stadiums, tracks players, officials, and the ball. The optimal system notifies referees instantly once the ball is spotted by hand, if it was a first down or not. This from Neil Manowitz of Sony. We're reducing a significant amount of time, 40 seconds for each time of use, and that would be each time of measurement use. And the system is accurate down to less than a half of an inch, which is incredibly, incredibly accurate. Hopefully the fans appreciate the objective view, or at least half the fans each play will be appreciating it. This is not going to make the spot of the ball any more technologically advanced. The referees will still spot the ball based on where they think it should be spotted. This is for the measurement. So if the measurement indicates first down, just like if the referee spotted the ball and said first down, you can still challenge the spot. You know, this isn't tennis where the ball either hits, is called out or called in, and you go to challenge it, and there's a clear replay that shows whether or not it was in or out. Nobody's placing that tennis ball. They're hitting the tennis ball. You still have the, you know, potential for human error with the spotting of the football, which I actually think has gotten sloppier at times over the years. But that's what we're headed for, and we will see some of that during preseason games. I don't know if it's involved in the, if they're doing it in the Hall of Fame game. I would imagine not, because that's not an NFL stadium. So it would start somewhere, and the list of stadiums in which they are ready to test this was not part of their press release, but we'll see that during the preseason, and we're going to see that kickoff rule in full effect, with teams probably really working on what this new rule provides in terms of advantages either for the kickoff team or for the return team. Thanks to Frank Schwab from Yahoo, who joined us, Ben Standig, Grant Paulson jumped on with us early in the show as well. Download the Odyssey app. You can listen to the entire show at any point, wherever you are, whenever you want to do it. Up next, Chris Russell and Linnell is in with Chris today. That's next, back tomorrow. So the big orange, you know, first down markers with the big chain in between, and the chain gang working first downs, we know that they've been working on eventually replacing that with technology. Well, they are going to test Sony's Hawkeye technology during some of the preseason games, which start tomorrow night with the Hall of Fame game, Chicago and Houston in that game. The system most likely won't be ready for full implementation until next regular season, although they say it could happen. This from Gary Brantley, who is the NFL's senior vice president and chief information officer. We're in the installation phase for all of our stadiums, really getting them calibrated and up to date. We're just really getting to a place where this system is as accurate as possible and really calibrating across our multiple stadiums. We have multiple stadiums with multiple dimensions inside of those stadiums with different age, which I'm sure he's referring to sort of technological ability. So we're really just going through the installation of putting in the infrastructure and making sure these cameras are installed. Now, Hawkeye Tracking Services for Line to Gain adds cameras to stadiums, tracks players, officials, and the ball. The optimal system notifies referees instantly once the ball is spotted by hand if it was a first down or not. This from Neil Manowitz of Sony. We're reducing a significant amount of time, 40 seconds for each time of use, and that would be each time of measurement use. And the system is accurate down to less than a half of an inch, which is incredibly, incredibly accurate. Hopefully the fans appreciate the objective view, or at least half the fans each play will be appreciating it. This is not going to make the spot of the ball any more technologically advanced. The referees will still spot the ball based on where they think it should be spotted. This is for the measurement. So if the measurement indicates first down, just like if the referee spotted the ball and said first down, you can still challenge the spot. You know, this isn't tennis where the ball either hits, is called out or called in, and you go to challenge it, and there's a clear replay that shows whether or not it was in or out. Nobody's placing that tennis ball. They're hitting the tennis ball. You still have the, you know, potential for human error with the spotting of the football, which I actually think has gotten sloppier at times over the years. But that's what we're headed for, and we will see some of that during preseason games. I don't know if it's involved in the, if they're doing it in the Hall of Fame game. I would imagine not, because that's not an NFL stadium. So it would start somewhere, and the list of stadiums in which they are ready to test this was not part of their press release. But we'll see that during the preseason, and we're going to see that kickoff rule in full effect. With teams probably really working on what this new rule provides in terms of advantages either for the kickoff team or for the return team. Thanks to Frank Schwab from Yahoo who joined us, Ben Standig, Grant Paulson jumped on with us early in the show as well. Download the Odyssey app. You can listen to the entire show at any point, wherever you are, whenever you want to do it. Up next, Chris Russell and Linnell is in with Chris today. That's next, back tomorrow.